Morning. Well, like John said, my name is Josh, and my wife is Ariana right here in the second row. So anyway, I go to the King's College and work there also with John. And most of you probably don't see me on Sundays because I'm hiding out in the back at the soundboard. But most people wouldn't know this about John, but when he has you doing something, he has you go all out on it. And he's a real slave driver. Yeah, doing the sound has pretty much become a second full-time job for me because whenever John wants to watch TV at home or listen to music, he has me come set up the sound. No, but I normally wouldn't be up here speaking. It's something that kind of like scares me to death. But what John's been speaking lately about stepping out in faith has really encouraged me to do it. And this word that I'm going to tell you today, it's something that's really that God has put on my heart to speak to this congregation. And so if you want to follow along in your Bibles, we're turning to Matthew 12, 46 through 50. It says, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to them. Someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. He replied to him, who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to his disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. When I first got saved and I started reading the Bible and I came to this passage, I didn't really pay much attention to it because before it, there's this big thing of really important teaching, and after it, there's this thing of really important teaching. And so it seemed like a very small section of Scripture that I didn't really see anything in. And but one thing that did stand out to me is it looked like Jesus was rejecting his family. And I was like, whoa, what's up with that? But if you really think about Jesus' culture, the Jewish culture, family was a very important thing. And it really defined who you were. And so he wasn't rejecting his family because that really he would have been frowned upon. That would have. And it really would have discredited him and his ministry. And so what Jesus is trying to do here is he's trying to shock his hearers and he's trying to make a point. And what that point is there are two different kinds of families. You have your earthly family and you have your spiritual one. And one's, your earthly family is obviously of a physical nature and your spiritual family is obviously a spiritual thing. And your earthly family is your blood relatives, the people you're related to, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, aunts, uncles, grandfather, whatever. And in most people's eyes, these are some of the most important people in their lives. And, I mean, these are people that you would do anything for, even if they're completely wrong, or if they do something completely stupid, you would stand behind them 100%. And these are people that you could get angry at, and you would still know that there's love in between you and that reconciliation was going to come. But something that I want to point out is that your earthly family is only temporary. And so your spiritual family is of more importance than your earthly family. And that's something that I think Jesus tries to show throughout his ministry. A verse I want to turn to is Luke 12, 51 through 53. Here Jesus says, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. And I don't think Jesus is, he's not saying that he's actually causing physical division. He's not saying that he's actually directly causing it, but because some people in a family will follow the father's will, and some of them won't, there's going to be division in between them, and there's going to be some conflict there. And sometimes a person's earthly family doesn't want what the Father's will is for a person's life. And at that point in their life, they have to make a choice to choose God over their family. And I think a perfect example of this in Scripture is a man named Jonathan. Jonathan was Saul's eldest son, and Saul was the first king of Israel. And Saul, at one point in his life, he's told by God to go and totally wipe out the Amalekites. All the Amalekites, everything they own. And Saul does this, but he spares the king, and he spares some sheep and cattle. And his intention in doing this is that he wants to go and he wants to worship the Lord and provide these as a sacrifice. But even on the way, he ends up building a shrine to himself. And obviously God's not too happy with this. And God rejects Saul as king because he was disobedient, because he didn't carry out what God said to do exactly. And so the Lord ends up choosing David as the new king. And David, obviously, he's a well-known guy. And he ends up going into Saul's service as a harp player. And after that, he ends up killing Goliath, which is a great Philistine warrior. And after that, Jonathan ends up making a covenant with David because he sees that he's anointed of God. And, you know, from there, David goes on to become a great warrior. And he's very well known, and he becomes even more highly thought of than Saul is. And Saul becomes very jealous. And from that point on, he tries to kill David every chance he gets. But through this all, Jonathan continues to be committed to David. And what he sees is that his father Saul, first of all, is not being godly, especially in trying to kill David. And he also sees that David is very full of the Spirit of God. And so Jonathan is so committed to doing what God wants in his life and in his people's life, Israel's life, that he goes against his father's will almost. He makes a covenant with his father's enemy. And so I think Jonathan displays very well that you cannot choose your earthly family over God. God has to be put first. And another thing I just want to point out real quick is that you don't always have to worry about choosing God over your earthly family, because sometimes your earthly family is also part of the spiritual family. I mean, as most people in this room can say, their family is probably also Christian. And so you're probably wondering, what is the spiritual family? And the spiritual family is, it's really easy. It's just all of us that have come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior. And for a while, that was really hard for me to grasp, because I come from a family that is broken by divorce. And it was really hard for me to actually grasp the concept of what a family was anyway. And I mean, there was so much hurt there for me that if my parents tried to actually show me what family looks like, it would be filtered through my pain, and I couldn't understand it anyway. But the Lord took me through a lot of healing in that. And one thing that I found out during that healing is that there's actually some substance to us being called the spiritual family. There's actually a biblical basis for that. And what that is that when we become saved, we're adopted into the family of God. And so now, because we're adopted into the family of God, we all share the same Heavenly Father. We're all co-heirs in His kingdom. And so we actually are brothers and sisters in Christ. And I think this is really hard for people to understand, because we live in a culture where the normal thing is for families to be broken. There's so many families split apart by divorce, and there's so many families where children are abandoned at birth. And these children grow up never knowing what exactly family is. And so it's hard for them to even, I mean, if they can't understand what that is in their earthly family, it's going to be even harder for them to understand in what it is in a spiritual family. And another reason I think that people may not grasp it is they may come from a family that's a really awesome family, and their family is really close, I think that they come to a point where they think, I don't need other people because I've got this family. And my wife is a perfect example of that. She comes from this really awesome, close-knit family. And, I mean, they're always spending time together. They're always there for each other. And in her mind, she thought, I don't need fellowship with other people because I've got this awesome family to fall back on. And the Lord's really brought her out of that, and she's really starting to embrace people that aren't her actual blood family as her family. But I'm sure there's tons of other reasons why people may not understand the family aspect, but those are the ones that I've just seen in my life. Another thing I wanted to point out about the spiritual family is back in the first verse we read, in Matthew 12:49-50, Jesus points to his disciples and he says, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." And what I want you to notice in that is that Jesus says his family are those that do the will of the Father. And I think, as everyone else has, at some point in your life you've wondered, what is the will of the Father for my life? But most people look at this in the context of their circumstances, and they don't ever really think, what is God's overall will for my life? But either way, one way that we find the will of the Father for our life and our circumstances is by going to Scripture and seeing what He has to say there. And in the same way, we can do that for God's ultimate will in our life. And that's exactly what the people of Jesus' time, the Jewish people, would have done. They would have gone to the law and the prophets to find out what God wanted for their life, because the law and the prophets were the thing that dictated every aspect of their life. If they wanted to know what to do in a situation, they went to the law and the prophets. And it's really cool because in Matthew 22:34-40, Jesus, he talks about these two things can be summed up into only two things. All these commandments can be put into two things. And there it says, "Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?' Jesus replied, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments.'" So Jesus said that all of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So what he's saying there is that those things that that said what they had to do in every aspect of their life could be summed up into two things, and that was love your God and love your neighbor. And loving your God, that's pretty obvious. That's pretty much your walk with Jesus. It's just having a relationship with God. It's loving God with all of your being. And the second one is pretty obvious too, loving your neighbor. That's loving all the people around you. And not just your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but everyone. And I think that what Jesus is saying here is that the will of the Father are these two things. And so the one that's important to me for this word is that the loving your neighbor, because I think that's where the importance of spiritual family comes in. Our lives are so full of hurt and pain sometimes, and we go through all these trials and temptations, and I mean, even people can be so harsh to us, and a lot of times we just feel like we can't go on. And at those times, people would usually tell us, oh, just trust God, you know, just put your faith in Him. But sometimes that's not enough for us. And it's just really hard to do that because a lot of times we can feel like we don't even know if He's there, or we feel like, man, I don't know if I'm even hearing God correctly on this. And I think because we're human, a lot of times we need an actual physical being there to encourage and comfort us. And the cool thing about that is that God works through that. He's not limited to anything. He can do whatever we need. And so God empowers us as the family of God to encourage and uplift each other. And, you know, that can be done in many different ways, by leading worship, preaching, counseling people, praying for people, serving. any way that God has gifted you. And God's gifted everyone with special gifts that are unique to them. And anytime we use those, I think we're fulfilling both of those commandments. And I think we're fulfilling the will of God in our lives, because in encouraging our brothers and sisters through our gifts, first, we're being obedient to God. And obedience is one of the ways that we can show love to God. And second, obviously, when we're encouraging people, we're loving them. And not only that, but when we encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ, from there, we're able to be empowered and encouraged by that to go out and preach Christ to the world. And so I think that God had me speak this to the congregation today for two reasons. And the first reason is for the growth of the church. I think that before our church can move on to what God has for us next, it's very important for us to grasp this concept of being a family. And I think once we realize that we're a family and we really take ownership of this church for ourselves, then we will want to serve and we'll want to see this church grow, because we'll really feel connected and we'll feel like it's actually our family here that we're serving. And I mean, once we actually get that, the church will grow. And when you start serving, you will see what God wants done in this church. It'll get done. And the second thing that the reason that I think God had me speak this today has more to do with what John's been speaking lately about stepping out in faith. Because it's one of the hardest things in our life to step out in faith. And it's even harder to continue walking in that whenever you do step out in faith. And that's where the spiritual family comes in. We're there because we make sure that people are doing what God wants them to do and stepping out where God wants them to step out. And not only that, but when they do, we're there to support them and hold them up while they're doing it. Because so many times when we do step out into what God wants us to do, the enemy comes against us immediately. And the thing is we need someone there to help us get through this. And that's where spiritual family comes in. And so what I want to point out to y'all today is that really we're in this life together and we're in this ministry that God has for us together. And that ministry is obviously reconciliation. We're ambassadors of Christ. And so I just want you to see that there's no one individual in this room that can go at life alone. I think God has given us all special and unique gifts that are special to just you. And I think he did that so that we would see that without everyone else, without our family, we're incomplete. And so I just want to pray for y'all real quick. Lord, I just thank you for giving me this word. And I thank you for the people that are here today hearing this, God. I just pray that you would help us become a family, Lord. Help us to actually get that in our minds and really walk in it, God. And I just pray that as we do that, Lord, that you would just give us ways of fellowshipping more, God. Just help us to see how we can have more fellowship so we can get closer to each other, God. And I just pray that you would have us do what it is that you want us to do, God, and that you would show people what that is so that we can step out in it, God. I just pray that we're all there for each other to uplift and encourage each other. And we just thank you for the many blessings that you bring to our life, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, I'm a smart enough preacher to know when a good enough message has been given to not follow it up and try to make the point more confusing. Josh, that was outstanding, by the way. Very gifted. Now we're going to have a preaching duo between you and Ariana. We can go over there.